The massacre of Nepal's royal family earlier this month focused unwanted attention on a country that is most often in the news for its spectacular mountain climbing. Many of the world's tallest peaks are in Nepal, but there are also lowlands and forests, places that harbor wild elephants, rhinoceroses, and tigers. That's where the latest National Geographic radio expedition takes place this week, in a region called the Terai. There, conservationists are trying to create a wildlife corridor that will enable endangered species to safely migrate hundreds of miles between national parks. It's called the Terai Ark Project. In the first of three reports, NPR's John Nielsen travels to Royal Chitwan National Park in southern Nepal near the Indian border to join a rhino roundup.
When the 1,500-pound rhinoceros wakes up inside the wooden crate, it gets angry. Giant hips smash at wooden planks. On top of the crate, men with hammers bounce around like ping pong balls. A crowd of anxious men waits to push the crate up a ramp onto a truck. The driver has orders to travel all night on the only highway in lowland Nepal, past rice paddies, crowded towns, and shredded forests. The truck won't stop until it reaches Royal Bardia, a park in western Nepal that has lost its rhinos to poachers. For the rhino, it will be a painful trip, but ecologist Anil Manander of Nepal's King Mahendra Trust says it must be done.
If you have all the eggs in one basket, if anything happens, it's all gone. But now we already have established the second population of rhinos in Bardia. So if anything happens here in Chitwan, we still have one population there.
Rhinos and other big animals used to be able to wander freely through the lowlands of Nepal. But those migratory pathways have been chopped up by farmers and other settlers. Conservation groups are now trying to rebuild the corridors between the parks, but they've only just gotten started, which means that for now, Nepal's rhinos only migrate in trucks. Fortunately, here in Chitwan, they've got rhinos to spare.
We have 544 rhinos, and the habitat has decreased, but the number has increased.
But how exactly do you get a rhino into a wooden crate? Is it sane to even try? To answer those questions, we need to go back several hours to the start of this rhino roundup. It's before dawn now, and a line of Asian elephants is carrying at least 40 people towards a shallow river and a forest shrouded in fog. Three of us ride an elephant called the Queen. The driver, or Mahood, sits in front of me, steering by pushing his bare feet into the pink spots behind the elephant's ear. Behind me, Anil Manander stands like some kind of surfer on the elephant's back. We're moving into the forest now. Elephant has got up a little trot, and I have a death grip on the rope in front of me. The team came out last night to make sure they had a general idea of where the rhino was. The idea now is for the 15 elephants in this group to surround the rhino, gradually collapse the circle, and then the shooters hit the rhino with a dart containing M99. It's a little bit like morphine. The elephants move through the forest in a horizontal line. Hunting formation, I'm thinking. I hear a yelp and twist around in time to see a Mahood smack a big wooden club into an elephant's skull. When I turn back around, there's a rhino, 20 yards ahead. 1,000 pounds, at least, with skin that looks like armor plating and a head that belongs on a dinosaur. It's looking right at me. The elephant circles the rhino. The rhino looks around for a break in the line. It's nice to be on the only animal in the world that's capable of facing down an angry rhinoceros.
The elephant with the shooter is moving in. Everybody's staying back. They're going to shoot it right here. Listen for the pop. Got him. Uh-oh. They're running away. They're taking off. Trying to catch up to it. Get it into the field.
Fifteen minutes later, the drug kicks in and the rhino is out like a light. Veterinarians check his pulse. Somebody puts a blindfold over his eyes. Over the years, dozens of rhinos have been safely captured in this way and then trucked out of Chitwan. But a ride in a cage in the back of a truck is no way to migrate. That's why Anil Manander hopes to rebuild the grasslands and forests that used to connect these parks.
What we are planning, if we can connect this park with other national parks like Bardia, if we can connect this park through corridors or what we call linkages, then they can move through these corridors.
Manander says a partial rewilding might be enough to bring rhinos back to the spaces in between these parks. Maybe elephants, too. But if the Royal Bengal tigers are to return, these corridors will need fresh water and lots of smaller animals.
When you conserve or protect a tiger, you have to protect and conserve its habitat, its prey species. So that means everything.
A crowd of men huffs and puffs and eventually rolls the knocked-out rhino over onto a sled. Somebody hooks a steel cable to the front of the sled and the back of the tractor. The rhino, still sleeping, is pulled slowly through the woods. For the record, this rhino will emerge from the coming truck ride with no serious injuries and no apparent desire to come home. It's now part of what is officially known as the founder population in Royal Bardia National Park. For Radio Expeditions, this is John Nielsen, NPR News, Royal Chitwan National Park, Nepal.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR and the National Geographic Society. Tomorrow, local reaction to the plan to rebuild Nepal's migration corridors.